This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Globally, the current supplies of soybeans and wheat are running on the short side. I spoke with market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman, about the issue and his hopes for the U.S. growing season.
That is what the trade is expecting. And trade sentiment or trade perception tends to shift like the wind. A lot of times it's just a matter of emotion. The global market has become very comfortable with relatively tight supplies, which is fine because we have a good transportation system in the world and we can get things to where they need to be in quick order where there's a need, unless you have a significant area, production area that has a weather problem. And so that remains the key. If we have a good growing season in the United States this summer, we should be able to build global stocks of corn and of soybeans and add to that, and traders will look at that as bearish. If we have a weather problem pop up, a legitimate weather scare, all of a sudden we're extremely tight and prices would likely explode higher. Now, as we go into the summer with a developing El Nino weather pattern, not all the time, but a majority of the time, that tends to give us favorable weather for above trend yields. So that is what the trade is assuming right now. So we're going into the growing season with the trade assuming we're going to have good weather and above trend yields, and we'll start rebuilding those world stocks.
Well, let's hope that we can get all the crops in the ground then and hope that the weather clears up for those who are in the northwest region of the Midwest.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, we live in a world where farmers in one area benefit from the problems of another area. It'd certainly be good to have a year where everybody could have a good crop.
Not only is Suderman hoping to see large crop harvests in the U.S., he's also looking at the need for more livestock. He went over what the livestock markets are looking like this week and in the near future.
Well, we have seen a big pickup in product movement for both beef and pork, but unfortunately that hasn't translated into higher prices, and in fact prices are trending lower. So the packer margins are going deeper into the red, and packers are losing money. We need to be able to see that product demand improve. And with the cool weather we're seeing this week in the Midwest, that continues to create problems for the barbecue season. We're just not getting the barbecue demand that we normally get this year. And with high gasoline prices, we're shrinking the amount of disposable income the consumer has anyway. There is no question that we are tight on beef supplies with the smallest cow herd in 60 years. There's no question that the PED virus is continuing to shrink the supply of market hogs, although we're offsetting that right now with slaughter rates that are carcass weights that are 5% above the previous year's level. That's soon going to be disappearing as the number of hogs has shrunk too much to be able to offset that. The question is, what will the consumer be able to pay and be willing to pay for the meat at the retail counter? That's the real question right now and why the meats are struggling. We need to get this economy back on its feet so the consumer's willing to pay up for the tight supplies and stimulate some production.
And the U.S. isn't the only one having problems with their livestock herds. I hear Brazil has found two cases of mad cow disease.
It certainly has been an unusual situation of disease affecting various areas of the world. And when you look at the story about Brazil, that just reemphasizes the problems that we're having with a small cow herd here, problems there, the PED virus in the United States and Canada and parts of Mexico, also China's disease problems in their swine herd, also the avian flu that's affecting the bird population there. And there seems to be a number of areas around the world where we're starting to impact meat production right now, pushing prices higher, and unfortunately, that's affecting U.S. producers as well as others. We'd like to be able to take advantage of that. We just need to have a healthy consumer to be able to pay up.
Right. And I'm sure that that is also affecting Brazil's exports. Many countries will be putting up trade barriers to them because they don't want to risk getting mad cow in their cow herds.
Well, Brazil is a major exporter of beef. Most people don't realize here that Brazil has a huge cow herd and is a major beef producer in the world market, so that is significant news.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. In agriculture, there are oftentimes trend-setting farmers who are able to start implementing new ag innovations sooner than the overall farming population. One such trend is 15-inch row corn. I spoke with Macoupin County farmer Keith Strohmeyer, who is currently farming 15-inch row corn.
Yeah, I guess you might say I'm the guinea pig. 2014 will be my fourth year with 15-inch corn.
Let's go over what were some of the difficulties in transitioning into 15-inch rows, or what were some of the things that went very well?
One thing, the advantage, I already had the 15-inch planter because I've been planting my soybeans in 15-inch rows for several years. So all I had to do was get a different corn head. I had to purchase a narrow corn head. But other than that, like I said, I had the planter, and so we were good to go. And I'd been researching this for a couple of years before I decided to take the plunge, but I just decided to try it, and I haven't looked back. I haven't been sorry since. I mean, we're seeing a yield advantage, and I think it's a trend. I think if we're going to increase these corn yields, we're going to have to narrow up the rows to do it, especially on lighter soil types. I mean, down here in the southern part of Macoupin, our soil types are light to medium, and you know, we don't have the luxury of the good black soil types, and so I think we're really seeing a significant yield advantage by narrowing up our rows.
And that is a good point, that a lot of it does come down to soil type. Do you have fields of your own that are noticeably different soil types that the 15-inch rows is working better or worse in?
Yeah, it seems like the lighter the soil, the more yield advantage we see. We do farm some bottom ground, and I don't see the advantage quite as much in the bottoms. I think better soil types, is they won't see quite the yield advantage. I think they still will see an advantage, but it's not as significant as it is on light soil.
All right. And how about the management of the crop while it's growing? Have you noticed that since there are more plants in the field and there's less room for weeds to grow, that the fields are less weedy, or would that have not been a problem in the first place?
No, that's a good point. There, we notice a lot better weed control because by narrowing them up to 15-inch, by the time our corn is about 10 to 12 inches tall, we've pretty much got canopy over the ground already. So we have seen a better weed control over 30-inch rows. If I can think of a disadvantage to them, you can't post anhydrous or things like that because you can't get between the rows after the corn's up. So we have to apply all of our fertilizer before the corn comes up. And we do our herbicides that way too. We try to put them down before the corn emerges, but we have experimented with some herbicide and of post-spraying corn, and you can do it, but you should go, you need to either go at some kind of an angle or crossways on the corn so you're not running right directly on the row. But you can post your herbicide after the corn's up, and by harvest time you can't even tell those sprayers were out there.
All right. The advantages are a yield increase and also crowding out of weeds, but then it makes it more difficult to get into the field after the crops are up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say that's the disadvantage. I know there's still some fellas that like to side dress their anhydrous, and you can't do that with this program. You have to have your fertilizer down. Well, another point, though, I might tell you, I think is kind of an advantage, is by having the narrow row corn, we're not seeing quite as much erosion in the wintertime because the rows are closer together and they seem to hold the soil a little bit better. So I think we've helped our soil erosion problem just a little bit.
And that is a very good point. The more plants you have on the field, the better they will hold on to the soil.
Sure, yeah. You got more roots out there that are spaced more evenly. And I'm not saying it cures it completely, but we're not seeing quite the erosion that we used to have.
And from the conversation we've been having so far, it's pretty apparent that ag is becoming hugely technologically advanced. It has been for many years. It's been shown that farmers tend to pick up on technologies faster than everyone else out there in the world. So what would you say in the world of agriculture is either your favorite piece of technology that's already out or something that you are eagerly looking forward to in the future?
Well, the one we like the best right now that we are currently using is the guidance system in the tractors. That's technology that is really catching on fast. I think you probably see more farmers using guidance system than ones that aren't. The one piece of technology we have not experienced yet, but I'm looking forward to here in the near future, is variable rate technology on the corn planter. I think that's coming, and I'm excited about that, especially with these narrow rows. I think the type soils we have, we'll have four or five different soil types in one field, and so I think if we can set these planters to plant variable rates with soil types, I think that's even going to improve our yields even better.
Right, as we can see from moving to 15-inch rows and with this variable rate technology, getting the amount of plants in the field has become really a big focus in ag.
Right. You know, they keep telling us that, I'm not real sure on this, but I think it's by 2030, if I remember right, they want us to be raising 300 bushel corn. And the only way I can see us increasing yields like that is to narrow the rows up and variable rate technology, and I think we're in the right direction, but we've got a ways to go yet before we can reach those kind of yields, but I think it's, we can obtain that in time.
Again, that was Macoupin County farmer Keith Strohmeyer. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.